Now, did you know that today is National Seaweed Day? Me neither. And the humble seaweed is seeing a surge of popularity, not just in Ireland, but around the globe in areas of cuisine and skincare. It just seems, yeah, everywhere in terms of skincare includes seaweed. Who better to tell us more about this oceanic treasure than Prani Rattigan? Prani is a medical doctor and author of Irish Seaweed Kitchen. Hey, Prani, how are you?
Oh, Catherine, hello. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you. Lovely to chat to you. So you are you've been hailing seaweed for years. And before we chat about how humans can use it, maybe just put on your David Attenborough hat and give us its role in nature and the oceans, because it's more than just a weed, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed. And really thank you for the opportunity and for inviting me to speak about seaweed on today, because it really is lovely to see it highlighted. And I suppose correctly we should call it marine algae. And marine algae, it's classified as browns and reds and greens. And would you believe there are between 500 and 600 different species off our shores here in Ireland?
Wow. God, yeah, I mean, because when you're swimming or when you're out, you see like the grassy type and you see the mossy type, and then you see obviously the big kelp. But I didn't know there was that many.
Yes. And you would notice that they're browns, reds and greens when you sort of have that information. And they're really, really good for the environment. And I suppose with climate change being so high on our agenda, we see that they're such a sustainable way to actually get some food, because they don't need arable land and they don't need fresh water and they don't need fertilizer. And day in and day out, they actually sequester carbon. So they take carbon and hold it, and they decrease the acidity of the water as well. So really, really important role.
It's a huge part of the ecosystem, isn't it?
Huge, and such a balance. Mm. And today is about really getting that information out there that we've got to protect the oceans. And the Seaweed Day runs up to World Ocean Day, which is on Saturday. Mm. So it's kind of like this run in really of all the education and the awareness about just how good seaweeds are. Mm.
You grew up in a home where seaweed was used regularly. So you just thought every Irish person eats it.
Well, yeah, that's it. Because my father was also a medic and my mother was a great cook. And we were looking out at the pram at my parents harvesting seaweeds, bringing them back, cooking them up. And we'd eat them and the neighbours would eat them. And I suppose we didn't know back then that seaweed are powerhouses of nutrients. And would you believe their reputation? They're actually described as the most nutritious form of vegetation on the planet.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Wow.
Yeah, on the planet. So, they're packed with things like antioxidants. In fact, they've got more antioxidants in them than raspberries. And they are, there's lots and lots of work. We're just back from the Seaweed for Health Conference, which is held every 2 years. And it just amazes me, the research that's happening all over the world in the 2 year gap between each conference. Just work on antiviral actions and antifungal and reducing cholesterol, reducing lipid. I mean, well, I suppose I have to say, as a medic, some of those are actually scientifically proven now, like the antiviral is scientifically proven. But the rest needs a lot of evidence. It needs the evidence base to build up, because as a medic, we can only work with evidence based.
Sure.
But the evidence is building and building, and the research is happening, which I just love to see. It's just so brilliant.
And as you said, back in the day when your father as a medic, like, you didn't understand the properties of a seaweed. So when you were eating it, it was part of your diet.
Yes, it was just part of the diet. We didn't know the health benefits. But
did you eat it, Prani, back in the day? Like, how did you use it in dishes?
Yeah, my mother used to make up carrageen moss pudding, and she used to make it with skimmed milk, not the way they do it in Ballymaloe with cream and stuff. And we used to be a big pool of water on the dish, but it was a blancmange, and she would put in chocolate into it to flavour it, and she put in some lemons and various other herbs and things into it. So we'd have that as a pudding. That was your pudding that you had after dinner. And then, our dessert, I should say. And then they used to get the schlauch or the nori. You know what you'd roll your sushi in?
Yeah, yeah. That kind of papery seaweed.
Yeah, the papery one. Well, that's when that's harvested off the rocks, then it's simmered up into a kind of a spinach. So that was something that we had all the time. Once the first frost came in after Christmas, we had that right up until it went out of season. Because the seaweeds are seasonal. Mm. So, you know, now the sea spaghetti is in and it's gorgeous. And the green seaweeds are coming into their own for making pestos and so on. So, you know, it's really the things that you can do with seaweeds are just endless.
And Franny, when you talk about the 600 different species, how many can we actually eat?
Oh, very good question. Well, I actually have a little guide that I brought out to help people with that, with QR codes and so on. And I'd say I have about 30 seaweeds that are really palatable and really delicious.
Okay.
And they're the ones that I help people to identify. And then I get them tasting. And you see their taste buds are zinging, particularly if they're chefs. They just want more and more of things like pepper dusk and different seaweeds like that. Truffle
seaweeds.
We are
seeing them,
aren't
we? We are seeing them on menus around Ireland more.
We are.
But when it comes to foraging, and I mean, I know that's why it's probably you have to be educated to some degree when you're going out foraging, because it's become a big thing now, the foraging tours and all that. But to know what you can eat and what you can't.
Yeah, that is advisable to have some kind of now you won't do yourself in like you could with mushrooms. And they're pretty dangerous if you don't know what you're at. With seaweed, you might get a bit of a tummy ache. But I do advise people that, first of all, they don't need much seaweed. If they go to the shore, that they take a sharp scissors or a sharp knife and they give the seaweeds a little haircut.
Okay.
That's really important.
Okay.
That they don't, you know, that they leave way more than they take.
Okay.
Because people think they need lots, but they just need very small amounts.
Before we move on to moisturiser, because I want to talk to you quickly about that, what is your favourite dish to make with seaweed?
Oh, I suppose I just love rattling up my own seaweed pesto, which is a mix of about 8 different seaweeds of the reds, greens and browns. And I mix it with some olive oil and a little bit of garlic and just pop it onto a cracker. And it's such an energizer.
Gorgeous.
It's so good.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And everybody who comes on any of my walks or anything just absolutely love it. They're hooked. I have a little note on the packaging saying, make health addictive, because it is.
And a nice easy one to do as well.
It's so easy.
Talk to us about skincare and about moisturiser, because we are obsessed with skincare, obviously, in the last couple of years. And so how is it used and what are the benefits for the skin?
Well, it's very traditional in Ireland.
Yeah.
And in fact, we've two fabulous places. We have Kilcullen's Baths, which are there since 1912, since the year the Titanic sailed out. And we have Voya in Strand Hill. Fabulous places that provide the seaweed baths that have been done traditionally in Ireland for centuries. And they also have products. So again, so good for psoriasis, so good for relaxing, so good for dermatitis. And it's the polysaccharide part, it's the carbohydrate part that comes up, but it's like an oil. It seems like an oil to people that they can massage into their skin, into their hair, into their face. It's so lovely. Have you had a bath?
I have had a bath years ago, and I think I must have been in my 20s, and I remember being quite kind of freaked out by it the first time I had it, because you're sort of enveloped in all of it, and it's just difficult to get used to. And then I've had it since then, and I think once you know what you're getting into, it's a much more enjoyable experience. That was my experience of it.
Yeah, no, it's about getting used to it. And I suppose people are a little bit squeamish about seaweed, but I feel that once they know the benefits and once they get past all that and they just see the benefits, then they're hooked.
Yeah,
most definitely.
You organise tours to get people into seaweed. Tell us about it.
I do. And for World Ocean Day at the weekend, I have them coming up. It's the Sligo Seaweed Experience. And I take people out and I show them the seaweeds. And so once we've identified, we do some tasting. And then I bring along my little pesto for people to taste. And I bring along my little seaweed chocolate truffles that are rolled up in the truffle seaweed. And we have a little picnic and we taste things and we chat and we it's so enjoyable. Yeah, it's really, really lovely. People love it.
So that's the irishseaweedkitchen.ie. I will make it my business to get down to you.
And your children would love the rock pool rambles, because my daughter, even though Hannah, even though she's only 11, she brings children out for their little to have a little look and see the delights that are hidden in the rock pools.
Oh, it is. It is. It's Mother Nature's playground, those rocks, aren't they? Absolutely beautiful. Lots of texts coming in here. As a child in Belfast, we got bags of Dulce at the seaside 60 years ago. Dulsk at the seaside 60 years ago.
Yeah, we call it Dillisk. And if you're in the UK or if you're in Northern Ireland, it's Dulce. Dulce and Yellow Man from the festival.
Okay.
In fact, we're tasting that tomorrow because I in the National Surf Centre in Strand Hill, I'm doing my first demo with a group tomorrow, and I'll be doing demos over the summer. So it's really fun to see people coming in and tasting. We're going to make some butter and flavour with seaweed and have some seaweed smoothies, and it'll be great fun.
Well, you're getting everybody's taste buds going now because the texts are flying. And what about carrageen moss? How would you cook that, says another
Gorgeous.
Listener.
Gorgeous. You give it a little rinse. That was the stuff my mother used to do. And then you simmer it with milk, and then you strain it and add your lovely flavourings. You can add some lemon verbena or lemon balm, or you can add some chocolate or cacao, and it's just gorgeous. You let it set and it's beautiful. It's a dessert.
Beautiful. Can you give us the seaweed pesto recipe very quickly again?
So it's a mixture of seaweeds that you'll either harvest yourself or you'll get from your local harvester or from me if you want. And then you mix it with some good olive oil and a little hint of garlic. And it's a mix of the reds, the greens and the browns. I chose them for their health benefits because I was begging the harvesters for years and years and years, because I'm 25 years doing walks at this stage. And in the end, I just brought out my own because I thought I really want people to actually experience it and taste it. And yeah, and just once they, as I say, once they become addicted to seaweed, they couldn't be addicted to anything better, really.
I love it. Pranni Radhakyn, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you this afternoon. Thanks for your time.
Hopefully we'll see you on the shore sometime, Catherine.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.